Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
The prime thing is you have to win. You have to win. Otherwise, you can't be a success in professional football.
Every single day I come in here, I think about winning. You know, I don't do this year round to come in and not make the playoffs. I'm sick of that shit, and I want to keep winning.
You're listening to The State of the Nation with Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen on the Athletic Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of State of the Nation here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I am Jimmy Durkin, joined, as always, by Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen. Getting ready for preseason game number 3, the preseason finale. We are winding it down until Tuesday, when the Raiders will have to cut their roster to their initial 53-man roster. And then a day later, they'll get their practice squad going. What are we looking forward to here in this final preseason game? Vic, you wrote on Friday here kind of about 9 roster spots that you still see open, which 9 feels like a pretty big number for going into the final preseason game. I think a lot of years we talk and we see maybe 3 to 5. So 9 is probably a pretty high number, I think, compared to most years for going into the final weekend.
It's probably a good sign. It means there's, more talent, maybe more competition. I think they did a good job this year bringing in some veteran guys and some rookies who have looked good in camp. I think there's pretty hard choices. I'm not sure there's anyone like you really want to see, you know, make the team. I think a lot of guys not very good. I think there's definitely guys who have certain strengths and certain potential. So I think it's actually, it might be a positive.
Dave Ziegler talked yesterday. That was something that he said. It's been harder for them this year to. Obviously, they haven't made cuts yet, but you know, the process of leading up to that has been more difficult in terms of making their decisions. And so, you know, that can go both ways. I guess you could say they don't have guys clearly performing above the rest at these positions, and that makes it more difficult. But I do think they have some nice depth at certain positions like receiver, defensive line. You know, they have a few guys at cornerback that are interesting. And so, you know, I think this third preseason game, as you said, Jimmy, I think it probably has a little bit more intrigue through that lens than maybe in years past. You know, it's always interesting to see who's out there, you know, like it's typically, you know, the guys that are like a lock for the 53 are not going anywhere near that field in the third preseason game, especially with them playing the starters last week. They already kind of got their trial run. And so you're not going to see any of them out there for that reason. And so if you're out there in that third game, you're probably fighting for a roster spot or at least in contention for it. And so, you know, that'll be interesting to see just sort of who suits up.
I mean, with the right tackle position with Mumford and Illuminor, do you guys think that we'll see those two play in this last preseason game? I mean, you know, they are pretty important part of the teams. It seems like Illuminor is the guy right now, but I mean, there is competition at a spot, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say Illuminor is like clearly the guy or anything. Like, I think that's been pretty back and forth between the two of them. Like last game, Illuminor started on the left side. Which was an adjustment from the first game, but they're pretty close. Like they're still rotating in practice with the first team and right tackle. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see them out there just since that I don't think they've made a clear cut decision there. You know, whether Illuminor plays left tackle again or not, we'll see. But I think that's something that even Vic and I, like we aren't 100%, you know, thinking who's going to be a starter between the two of them. And so I think that's going to be an ongoing competition. And I wouldn't be surprised if, I don't think they're going to be doing the rotating offensive line thing quite to the degree that they were doing at the start of last year, but I wouldn't be surprised if that competition sort of carryovers into the first couple of weeks of the season.
And also you could say that Mumford probably needs reps. He's still a young player, so why don't you get him out there either way? But I agree that that job is still kind of open, I think, and like you might see both guys. Whereas I think the right guard spot, my gut feeling is that Greg Von Rotten's already won that job, so I'm not sure he'll play this weekend, but I do think right tackle is still wide open.
Yeah, you know, I wonder, do you see Illuminor playing on the left side as almost a sign that it's more likely to be Mumford? Because if Illuminor is not the starting right tackle, you need him probably, he's probably gonna be your swing tackle. So getting him those starts on the left hand side, you know, to get him experience on both sides could be a sign that it is leaning toward Mumford, and you want to make sure that he's getting a little bit more comfortable on the left-hand side in case he needs to go there in place of Colton Miller.
Yeah, it's hard to call it. I mean, Mumford did play some left tackle in college. I think he actually played more left tackle than right tackle, and so he has experience there too, so there's not really any reason why they couldn't have put him over there on that side instead of Illuminor. But maybe, you know, obviously we don't know for sure, but since Mumford has less experience at right tackle, maybe they think it's more valuable for him to get some reps there in the preseason. But I think maybe Jimmy Garoppolo being out there on the first series probably factored into that a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, I think Illuminor is probably better at left tackle than Mumford is, and so you don't want to maybe throw a second year, seventh round pick out there at left tackle, and then Jimmy G gets blindsided or something. So I think that might have factored into it too.
All right. Now, Vic, one of the positions you wrote about was backup quarterback. And I think us on this podcast have been very supportive of Aiden O'Connell should be that guy. But I mean, you have to acknowledge there's a reason that Josh McDaniels brought in Brian Hoyer. And he's a guy that he is very comfortable with. And part of him talking about why getting him out there in the preseason is just to make sure, he gets a few reps and that he's ready to go. My opinion is that it would lean toward they probably would keep all three of them. Just, you've got the third quarterback rule available now, so you can dress all three on game day, even though only two would be active. And I think, McDaniels had a quote the other day kind of talking about the difference between if you need a guy to step in for a week versus if you need a guy to step in long term. And I think that kind of fits really with how we felt about the situation, that Brian Hoyer is your guy if Jimmy Garoppolo gets hurt in a game and you need to try to go win that game. If Jimmy Garoppolo goes down for the season, Aiden O'Connell probably is your guy.
Yeah, I think also Hoyer's probably like a de facto quarterback coach. I think when he came in, he was almost retired and he decided not to retire. I'm sure he talked about having him as a role grooming a young quarterback. I'm sure he's been, like Aiden mentioned, he's been a big help to him. So I think they'll keep three quarterbacks because you have, like you said, the emergency rule, the veteran guy, the young guy. I think that all works out pretty well. So that's my guess what happens there.
Are we sure Brian Hoyer is that short-term guy too? I mean, he has not looked good.
I mean, should he be? We could discuss if he should be or not, but you have to consider the Josh McDaniels factor.
Obviously, O'Connell's looked good, and he's been accurate, showed poise, but I think we had a list, and I think in the story today, where if you're looking at the guys who led the league in preseason pass rating in the last 10 years, it's not a good list. I mean, I don't know if this really means a whole lot that, he was great against, these scrubs.
Don't sleep on Scott Tolzien and Stephen Morris and
I didn't know who Stephen Morris was. There were names in that list. I didn't know who they were. I think
Skylar Thompson.
I know Skylar Thompson, but Stephen Morris was a guy I really...
Jacoby Brissett is the best name on that list.
By far. But there's some names in there. And again, O'Connell's a young guy. He's got a huge learning curve. I'm sure he's got a lot of promise and he'll get better. So I'm not sure if you're Josh McDaniels, say week two, and you need a guy to come in, you probably go with the experienced guy, I would think, at this point. But you never know.
We also have to, with O'Connell, he has been going against second, third, fourth string players most of these snaps. You know what I mean? It's preseason for one, but also he's out there with the backups. It's not like he's going against first team defenses or anything like that. It doesn't negate, that the fact that he's looked good, but and some of it I'm sure is just Twitter jokes, but people I think are getting a little bit too far ahead of themselves with the O'Connell hype train right now.
I will say Aiden O'Connell's shown a lot of translatable traits. He's not out there trying to run around and break outside the pocket and make these crazy throws into triple coverage. He's running the offense the way it's supposed to run. He's throwing on rhythm, and he's throwing accurate passes on rhythm. So I think those are translatable traits. So I think he passes a bar in my mind that, I think he can play with the number twos. I want to see him play against tougher competition. Obviously, that's the next bar he has to pass. But, if you look around the league, there's a lot of contending teams that have given the backup job to rookie quarterbacks that have done well this preseason. The Packers gave Sean Clifford the backup job in Green Bay, and obviously they're going to be a contending team.
Are they? Packers?
I think they will be. I think they will be.
Are they?
Contending for, their division? Or?
I mean, potentially a playoff team. It's a talented roster.
They're battling the Lions for the NFC North.
I mean, if the Raiders were contending there, they'd be pretty happy this season. But I'm just saying, they're a team that that are vying for the playoffs, a talented roster with some good veterans on the team, and the backup quarterback, Sean Clifford. The Browns gave their backup job to Dorian Thompson-Robinson, rookie from UCLA. There's another team that did it too. Around the league, there's some rookies that impressed that have won the backup job. So, I'm just saying that Aiden O'Connell might be the most impressive out of all of them.
So basically, to the start of your point about the translatable skills, he's not Jarrett Stidham going out there against the Niners where it looked good, but there were signs to be worried about.
It's not like tossing it up, into triple coverage into a receiver and getting rewarded for that. He's going through the process and running the system and making accurate throws.
Our one other position worth talking about is running back, and we know there's nothing new on Josh Jacobs. They still hope and expect that he will be back before week one. I guess the Jacobs situation in a way gives them a little bit of a luxury. He is not on the roster right now. When they set that roster on Tuesday, they don't have to worry about his roster spot. So that gives them the ability to carry an extra guy that once Jacobs eventually shows up, then they can put through waivers and might have a better chance of, getting onto the practice squad. So there is some luxury there. But, as it stands without Jacobs, Zamir White will be the top guy. And Vic, what do you think it comes down to? Do you think they keep four initially because Jacobs doesn't count, or do you see them keeping three? I know Amir Abdullah is going to be there to catch those third and 20 passes and pick up 13 yards or whatnot. But between Britton Brown and Brandon Bolden, what do you see there?
Yeah, they like Britton Brown, but he was on the roster last year, young guy. But he's been a little banged up this camp. So I can definitely see them keeping him for the 53-man roster and making him the guy to go to practice squad once Josh is back. So I do think Bolden, obviously a Patriots guy, there's a lot of special teams guy, and he has a kind of a leadership role in the locker room. So I think he's kind of a key cog in what McDaniel's trying to do as far as get the culture implemented. So I think he's pretty safe.
I'm not sure if with Britton Brown, he's missed most of training camp with an undisclosed injury. Because last year they kept five running backs. I don't see that happening again. I think it'll be ultimately once they get to week one, I think it'll be four guys on the roster. As of right now, Abdullah, in his third down role, and then they obviously like what Bolden brings on special teams. It's kind of hard to justify a spot, especially when with some of the deeper position groups on the roster where they have to make some tough decisions, like defensive line, for example. I think it just makes more sense to keep an extra one of those guys, like maybe a Nesta Jade or somebody like that over a fifth running back who's probably going to just be inactive every week.
And then receiver, you kind of know the names at the top of the list, Devontae Adams, Jacoby Myers, Hunter Renfrow, Trey Tucker obviously being a third round pick, DeAndre Carter is going to be their return guy. And then, Philip Dorsett probably, but Christian Wilkerson, is there a competition, do you think, going into this game? Could Saturday decide which of those guys is a sixth receiver?
Yeah, I think we kind of disagree on this one. I think it's a lock. I think it's Dorsett's job, but I think Deshaun thinks that Wilkerson's got a shot to kind of impress them this weekend.
Yeah, I think Dorsett definitely has, the leg up on him. But Wilkerson, I think he's impressed them with his performance both in games and in training camp. They also like his ability to block, which I know we don't think about with receivers, but does matter. And then, I think another thing that and we've talked about it is they have a pretty little receiver room. Jacoby Myers and Devontae Adams are the only guys over 6 foot. And like the rest of the guys aren't just like not 6 foot, but they're like 5'10" and shorter. And then Wilkerson is 6'1", a legit 6'1", and gives them a little bit more size. And so that's something that, I think they would like to keep him in the building. Ultimately, he's probably more of a practice squad guy. But, I wouldn't be surprised if both Dorsett and Wilkerson are out there against the Cowboys this week.
It seems like Dorsett would have a leg up in a job, but Wilkerson does provide something that the Raiders don't have with most of the team. They don't have, Mac Hollins was so valuable because he was such a good run blocker and outside. And I don't know if there are a lot of good run blocking receivers on this team. Wilkerson can help provide that. I mean, he's not quite as big as Mac Hollins, but really, none. I don't think any of the Raiders receivers are good blockers. I mean, Jacoby Myers tries, but sometimes he just gets he gets blasted sometimes. There would be usage for Wilkerson if he's on this team.
Yeah, I guess the tricky part is, Wilkerson is a guy who would be subject to waivers. We always talk, I think, at this time of the year, is this guy going to be able to clear waivers? So many receivers tend to impress during training camp that get cut that there's just not enough spots. There's been a lot of times where we've we've thought, oh, there's no way this guy's going to get through waivers and he clears easily. With Dorsett, he's a vested veteran, doesn't have to go through waivers. So you do have that consideration where you can tell him, all right, we are going to cut you. We're going to immediately sign you back to the practice squad. We're going to pay you this much, that, you know, so there are some of those considerations, but, we'll see what happens there.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's talk a little bit about tight end. And Ted, how's the Cole Fotheringham stock looking for you?
It's down, I'm not going to lie. But we have another week. We have another week. I watched a lot of last game. I focused on Michael Mayer, and man, he's struggling blocking. It's going to be a learning curve. But he did get open a couple times where he should have gotten the ball. Brian Hoyer, there was one where he got open in the middle of the field on a play action play. He adjusted his route and he went a little bit more vertical than he should have on a crosser, but he got into open space and a Hoyer threw it like really flat and it ended up being an interception. And there's another play where he actually got on top of a corner and got open on a fade route. So there's two opportunities he couldn't got the ball. But I think as far as blocking, it's going to be a learning curve for Mayer. So I think because of that, he'll probably be the Raiders' second tight end and get in two tight end sets, but it's going to be an adjustment for him. It's not going to be just give him a starting spot and go.
Yeah, I mean, thing is, like, Austin Hooper at this point in his career also isn't really known for his blocking chops. Like, earlier in his career, that was kind of what he was known for. And I don't know, the last 3 or 4 years, he's really kind of fallen off a cliff in that aspect. And so, you know, even if Mayer starts games, I think they'll be kind of splitting time at starting tight end, at least early in the season, while Mayer still continues to figure that out. I mean, he talked to us for the first time earlier this week, and he's been pretty transparent. Like, that, you know, blocking was the toughest thing for him to figure out. But with them having two guys that are kind of like, you know, so-so at best at blocking, I think with that third tight end spot, you want to keep a guy that's a little bit further ahead. And I think among the options, Jesper Horsted is probably that guy. You know, he's more experienced. He's been in the system. He's a solid blocker. He's not like, you know, great or anything, but, you know, fathering him at this point in his career, I think he's ahead of him. And so those looks like the three tight ends pretty securely at this point.
I agree. I think Horsehead's the guy. I also think yesterday Ziegler mentioned, and, you know, at this time of year, these GMs are looking at other teams' rosters, who's going to get cut, who's going to might be available in a trade. So there might be some, you know, blocking tight ends who are available on Tuesday, a guy you can bring in who that's clearly his role. Like, the other guy that's worth mentioning is, I always forget his first two names, he has three names. His last name is Schenker.
John Samuel Schenker.
Yeah, my guy, John Samuel Schenker. He's got some fullback tendencies as a tight end. I think he definitely is in the mix, not probably for the 53-man roster, but probably for the practice squad. So I think he's a guy who has those blocking things they want to implement. So he's a guy also to keep an eye on this weekend.
And when they really need a block, we're going to see the jumbo package. I mean, we saw it a lot last year with bringing in Mumford. Whoever is not the starting right tackle between Mumford and Illuminor, we're going to see the jumbo package when they really need to get the blocking out of that tight end spot. Obviously, it's not ideal because you're not really having the threat of a pass, but we saw it a lot last year, and I'm sure we're going to see a lot of that again. All right, a couple other positions to look at on the defensive side. Backup defensive tackle. We've talked about it that, you know, this defensive line group looks a lot, you know, deeper and more versatile than years before. Vic, you did a nice job of kind of detailing what a practice looks like for that defensive line. What are things looking like for the young guys? You know, those two draft picks from last year, Matthew Butler and Neil Farrell Jr.
Yeah, when Deshaun and I were trying to figure out those roster projections for Tuesday, I think that was one of our toughest spots. I think those two guys, I think Butler is ahead of Farrell, so I think he's going to make it. I wasn't sure about Farrell, but Deshaun thinks they both make it, I think. So they also got the veteran guy, John Jenkins. He's a big dude, 330, 340. He's got some ties with the new D-line coach, so I think he's going to make it. So definitely it's another good problem to have. You got a lot of guys with some potential and some beef in the middle there to kind of help you push the pocket.
Yeah, it's been kind of a weird offseason for like the young defensive tackles. Like Byron Young's missed a good amount of time due to injury. Neil Farrell missed a good amount of time due to injury. We assume, obviously they won't tell us anything, but so we haven't like gotten to see a whole lot of those guys. But just given their draft pedigree, I mean, it's not like they were first round picks, but I mean, they took Matthew Butler and Neil Farrell like mid-draft last year.
It's weird because last year, because they didn't have those first and second round picks, all those guys like seem like higher picks than normal. You know, Dylan Parham was their top pick, even though he's a third rounder. So you kind of hype him up more than you would normally.
Obviously, those are their guys. It wasn't like they were inherited guys, you know, that they had to hold on to from the previous regime. And so I think they want to give them some more time to develop. Obviously, the rookies like Byron Young and even Nesta Jade Silvera, who's impressed us a lot in training camp. I don't think we've seen that like translate to preseason games as much. He's probably more of a practice squad guy, I would say. But, you know, of the positions on the roster, I think defensive line is probably going to end up being the deepest in terms of just the amount, the sheer number of players that they keep on the 53-man roster. You know, and I think that obviously they would rather have the Josh Jacobs situation resolved, but like having that extra roster spot, I think that may be a spot where it helps them out. Maybe they're able to keep 10 instead of 9 or 9 instead of 8 or whatever they had in mind at that position.
I think a good example of that is when they signed Jordan Willis for the Niners. I thought that was a good signing. He's a guy who can play both outside, inside, veteran guy. It was a good role player, I think, for the Niners. I thought when he came in, he'd have a role, but now I don't see him making the roster. I think he's a guy I could see going back to the Niners. They have some injury issues up front. So that's, I think, the best example of how this depth has really kind of materialized this training camp.
All right, let's head to the secondary. Cornerback is a spot where, you know, until they signed Marcus Peters, kind of the approach was like, let's just throw a bunch of dudes into the blender and kind of see who comes out on top. How are we feeling about this group right now? I mean, we've got Peters, we've got Nate Hobbs playing in the slot, you know, David Long Jr., Brandon Faison, Ja'Corian Bennett. Is that our five? And guys like Amik Robertson is probably out of here. And, you know, some of those other guys that we saw a little bit of last year, Tyler Hall, Sam Webb, and a guy like Duke Shelley, are those guys on the outside looking in?
I think they end up keeping six. Like that's my gut feel. Like I think obviously Marcus Peters is you know, sharp beat in as a starter, and I think Nate Hobbs is at nickel as well. But I think the rest of that is kind of jumbled right now. I think they're still figuring it out, and you know, I think keep another outside starter, but I think three backups would be helpful for them because you know Tyler Hall. I think he's probably top backup at nickel behind Nate Hobbs. And then on the outside, I think David Long and Duke Shelley have shown enough to get roster spots, even if they don't start over Ja'Corian Bennett. So that feels like a solid six to me. Like maybe they only keep five, but that seems like a little bit of a thin cornerback room, especially amongst a group where, you know, they probably don't have all their answers yet in terms of how the rotation is going to work out.
So you got Faison as part of that six?
No, I don't. Yeah, I think he's on the outside right now. I mean, he you know, unfortunately for him, like he suffered a undisclosed leg injury on the first day of padded practices. He came back earlier this week in a red jersey, but then didn't practice the next two practices after that. And so I just don't know how healthy he is right now. Like, obviously, I don't think it's a season ender. Otherwise, they would have put him on injured reserve. But especially if he's not in a position to be ready to go for week one, I think, you know, maybe they try to keep him around on the practice squad or something like that.
Yeah, it's a tough one to figure out. I think, again, he's a guy that sure had written down as making the roster at the start of camp, and now I think you're right. I think he's kind of in that bubble. I think Amik Robertson's a guy I keep erasing and I keep writing back in. I just think he has his struggles. He has limitations. He's only 5'9", if he is 5'9".
Oh, he's going to make the roster now because you just told him he's too short. That's what they just got to do. Every play, just tell him he's too short.
I haven't making it. I'm saying I put him back in. I just think he does enough things on teams. I think they like him. I think of all the guys the new regime inherited, I think he kind of has that grit they like. I think they want to try to find a way to get him on the roster. So I think despite some struggles this preseason, I do think Amik survives.
Whose spot does he take on the in the corner list then?
It's a great question.
I think Tyler Hall is probably the most vulnerable there. Like I think they like him. Like he's, you know, he kind of, due to injury last year, he started a couple games at nickel for them, and I thought he was pretty solid. But I think Amik has a little bit more versatility in terms of being able to play inside and outside and then what he brings on special teams, whereas Tyler Hall is pretty much a nickel-only guy. And so I think if he's going to get a spot, it probably would have to be his spot.
Yeah, I would say either Hall or a Faison would be guys. I would think that he would take their spot. But it's tough because Duke Shelley's a guy who I haven't seen a lot of in camp or in the games. I think he's I think he's got a spot, but I'm not positive. But you know, the other day, he appreciated that I was in the shade during practice. He said that was smart, and I appreciate his recognizing my ability to find the shade.
So is that getting him a roster spot?
I think it does. He's in a bubble.
Does that mean Jakob Johnson gets cut because he was giving you guys shit?
Yakub didn't like our...
You could get your guy John Samuel Shanker in there as a starting fullback.
Here's the problem. Yakub questioned our body language. Here's the thing that he's not realizing. So we were in the shade in front of the icebox. Then when they come over to use the icebox, we have to move. So we're moving from the shade to the heat. So obviously my body language ain't going to be great. I'm losing my spot in the shade. All these guys are enjoying...
as they're about to go into 17-degree icebox.
Exactly. So my body... I mean, I'm not sure he realizes how that whole thing broke down. So if I talk to him, I'll explain why my... body language wasn't the best at that moment.
One thing about Amik is, I mean, if they do cut him, he's a guy that probably can stick. He can stick around building the practice squad.
That's a good point. Because I don't
see another team grabbing him, and so he's a guy that we focus so much on that 53. But obviously, when you're the Raiders and you're building this roster, you're thinking about who are the guys that we're going to also keep on this practice squad. Because I mean, so many injuries happen, so many guys fluctuate. There's guys that we don't even think about, don't even remember from training camp that by midway in the season are starting all these games, and we're like, man, we didn't even talk about you at all. So I think he's a guy that if they cut him, I think they can cut him with an idea of they can bring him back in the building. All right, final spot that Vic wrote about. We'll talk backup safety. Roderick Teamer, is his time finally winding down, Vic? You know, he's a guy that has been around and stuck around. But, I mean, if Marcus Epps, Trayvon Merrick, and Isaiah Palamau are around, and Chris Smith, the rookie, who, you know, I think we kind of had some expectations for, what do you see happening at that fourth safety spot?
Another tough call for me. I think, and Deshaun and I talk about this, part of the problem is, you know, where we sit, where we stand and watching practice, and there are three fields away. Even with binocs, it's hard to really see what the hell's going on. But over the camp and practices and even the games, I haven't seen Chris Smith. I mean, I know he's out there, but he never has really stood out to me making plays. I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying that I haven't noticed him. Whereas Teamer's a guy who has a role. He's a teams guy, plays in special teams, and he can play both safety spots. He also can play, I think, nickel linebacker. So I think he's a guy that does enough for me where I have him on the 53-man roster, which once we get through all these spots, you wonder, can they look at four or five guys? And I wonder about Chris Smith. And again, he's a draft pick. You would think he's a lock to make it. But just my observations, I have not really seen him do much this camp. So I don't know. I have Teamer making it, and I have Smith kind of on the bubble.
This could be another situation where, okay, Chris Smith as a fifth-round pick, you know, teams are fresh off the evaluation. You cut him. He goes through waivers. And maybe somebody who liked him in the draft process claims him, whereas Teamer, the veteran who's been around, you can cut him and bring him back into the building on the practice squad and kind of have the idea that, you can bring him back up whenever you need him. So that it could be another one of those considerations where this is the guy that you know you can just bring back into the building, and that way you're able to keep both of them around and feel like you can feel good about your depth there. All right, what else are we looking forward to in this preseason finale? I think we've hit all the major ones. Is this going to be just an Aiden O'Connell special to give him basically the whole game to let him see what he can do? Maybe a little Chase Garbers in the fourth quarter for just to make Vic happy?
I think you'll see Chase. I mean, I'm not sure why that makes me happy, but I think Chase will play a little bit. I mean, might as well. I mean, you don't want to risk an injury to the guys. I think they kind of at this point they know what O'Connell can do. He'll get some more reps, but I'm not sure there's a need to have him play the whole game against a bunch of guys who aren't going to be in the league in a week. So, but I guess the big question is, can they win again? Can they keep up this perfect record? Can Josh McDaniels become, like, you know, Dr. Rival Harbaugh as the best preseason coach of all?
I mean, Harbaugh's streak is done. So, yeah, are exactly. Is he the longest streak now?
I'm sure. I don't know. It has to be, right? So, I mean, it's a big feather in his cap.
All right, guys. Well, we will see what happens on Saturday night, and then come next week, by the time we talk to you guys again, obviously rosters will be set, the initial 53-man roster. We'll see if we have any update on Josh Jacobs. Probably not. Probably won't happen until that week of week one, you would think. But we will come back next week. We will have our season predictions. We'll give you our predicted win totals. We will run through some over-unders. We always love to do that before the start of the season, give you some stat lines. We'll have to figure out how many games do we think Jimmy Garoppolo will start?
Such a negative question. Why not? Why let's just hope for the best and assume he plays all week.
I think we'll set it at 13. I'll figure out what his average is. I'll average out what his average is over the last 5 years and 4 years or whatever, something like that. And we'll set a line there. last year we did who will gain more yards, Josh Jacobs or Zamir White.
I was so close.
Vic was hyping up the Zamir White trade. He thought he was going to be the bulk carry guy.
Yep.
We thought it was going to be at least split carries. I mean, good Lord, that could not have been a stupider question to even ask. I mean, it was not even close.
It was pretty bad.
All right, guys. Well, we will be back next week after we have roster set and getting you ready. That'll be our official season preview episode, so it should be fun.
All right, guys. Later.
Adios. If you got the money, honey, we got your disease. In the jungle, welcome to the jungle.